This is the Frank and Friends Show. Hi there, I'm Frank Murphy.
And I'm Elise Bruce.
Hello, Elise Bruce. Welcome.
Thanks for inviting me over to your show.
Oh, I'm happy to have you here. This is your first time in the less than impressive podcast Ponderosa, but I'm glad that you're here.
Well, I'm happy I'm here, too.
Good. And you came all the way from the magical world of Sevier.
Well, from Sevierville, yes, and we had to fight traffic. It was unbelievable.
And on the way home, you might have to fight severe weather, so it'll be a lot of severe in your future. And of course, we urge you and beg you and ask you kindly to please hit the subscribe button on YouTube. Also, you might want to check out some of our fab Frank and Friends Show merch, like you've gotten the new replacement mug, of which you're well aware because it's in your upcoming book, and we'll talk about that. This is the older mug that I still use.
Mm. There you go, see?
Nice and cold. I am very excited about the pint glasses. I think I promised Catherine Frady that we would do some day drinking out of the pint glasses, but I don't know when she's coming next couple another week or two. But Mitch Moore said he would just like to have water out of the pint glass, so we'll probably break
those
them in
nice.
With him. And I am so excited that I bought myself a new Frank and Friends Show hoodie. And this one is not a zip-up. This one's a pullover, and it's super soft, and it's super comfortable. And I like the color, and I like the way the logo pops. And all of that can be yours for, I mean, they're not cheap, but they're good quality.
If they don't have a zipper, you know, they're called bunny hugs.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
So I've got one with a zipper, the one that I've shown a million times.
Yes.
But now I've got a bunny hug.
Yes, you do.
All right, well, you can get a bunny hug from Frank and Friends.
And who wouldn't want a Frank and Friends bunny hug?
I mean, I have a list, but most, they're not going to be watching. So why waste time talking about them? So, Elise, I have been a character in two of your books now?
Two of the books, yes.
And one of them hasn't come out yet, but it will be out any day now.
Yes.
And I also, so we're going to talk about that today. Of course, I also want to wish you happy Easter, because in my world, Easter is an eight-day octave. It goes from the Sunday, first Sunday, or Easter Sunday, to the following Sunday. And that's 8 days. It all counts as one day in my religion.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, it's true.
I had no idea. Now, you see, here's something. I always love learning new stuff. So why is it?
Well, because it's the most important, the biggest holiday in the Christian faith and certainly in the Catholic religion. So we have the octave of Easter. And then the Easter season goes on really all the way to Pentecost, which is 50 days, Penta 50, cost 50 days after Easter.
And then there's all those days before for Lent.
40 days for Lent, or really 46 days, but then you subtract out the six Sundays to get 40.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's not great stuff. Anyway, so I'm excited about all that because it means I've gotten my Easter candy. I don't know if you can see the Easter decorations. Most of them are out of the shot. But I've got, my wife put out the Easter basket with the wooden, this is just the wooden eggs in it, but I've got that standing by in case I get into an Eastery mood. All right, and I had Dr. Pepper Peeps. I mean, it's been quite the Easter. In fact, for Easter, we decided to cook a lamb, like a lamb.
Oh, wow.
You're not offended by that, are you?
Well,
and some people, you say lamb, and my friend Bean, if I mention anything other than eating chicken or fish, even mostly fish, he gets freaked out a little bit. He's like, oh, you can't eat something that's a cow. I'm like, well, they're delicious. You can't eat a pig, but come on. You can't eat a sheep. I'm like, well, it's not an actual grown sheep. It's just a lamb. You can't eat
a lamb. Well, but
they're delicious.
If you eat veal.
Yeah, exactly. And lambs, anyway, they're very dumb animals. But we had a shepherd pie during Lent one day. I forget what day it was.
Did you use real shepherds?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, or they're sheep anyway. We used lamb in the shepherd pie, and then we had a leg of lamb for Easter. So when I grew up, you would have mint jelly with leg of lamb. Every grandma, every mom in my world, they would have a jar in the back of the fridge of mint jelly. And sometimes it's like apple jelly that's flavored mint. Sometimes it's actual jelly made from mint leaves. Anyway, mint jelly. So I thought, I'm just going to get a jar of mint jelly for the leg of lamb. Go to Kroger and go to the jelly aisle. No. I go to this condiment aisle. No. I go to the honey and peanut butter area. I'm looking all over the place. I finally talk to some kid. He's like, and he points me to the fig jams, which, I mean, I'm well versed in fig jam. I know my fig jam. I know why there's savory fig jam in with the cheeses and why there's sweet fig jam over with the peanut butter and jelly. I mean, I'm all over the fig jam. I mean, we make fig jam here in the house. We're all about fig jam. but he thinks that's going to do. I'm not, I don't need, I've got fig jam coming out the pantry. I mean, I've got, in fact, I forgot to even close the pantry. There's so much fig jam in there, I have to push some out of the way. I'm supposed to, my wife says I'm supposed to close that door before people come over. So don't tell her. And no mint jelly. So I thought, well, you know what I do? I've got an app. I've got the app for the store.
Good luck.
Right? So I look it up on the Kroger app. And there's mint jelly, of course. And it says, first of all, it says not available in store. You have to order it. And it's $47. So then I found one that was on sale from $47 marked down to $39. And I thought, this is not right. I can't, it's not worth it. And turns out that Kroger does not carry mint jelly, but you, they'll sell it to you and ship it to you for, you know, $3 is the jar, and then, you know, $44 is the shipping and handling. So, anyway, my wife went to Food City and found the exact same brand, the exact same size, the exact same mint jelly. I said, how much did you pay for it? She's like, hey, $3. So we had mint jelly for Easter is the bottom line of the story.
So you had trouble finding mint jelly. Last Christmas, as with every Christmas,
yeah.
I had trouble finding mincemeat.
Okay. I've heard of mincemeat pie, but I also am under the impression that it's not actual, you know, meat. It's made from vegetation of some kind?
It's made from fruit.
What is it?
And rum.
Oh. Now we're talking.
Yeah, so it's chopped up fruit, and it's cooked, and you cook it with rum, and
I guess when you chop up the fruit, you do sometimes
minced.
Call it... Sometimes you call it the meat of the peach. You know,
right,
I can understand why they would call it that.
It's minced.
Yeah.
And meat of the fruits.
Boom.
Okay. But I went to, who knows how many places looking for it. And in many places, I got directed to the meat department. And I'd say,
because they don't
know. Want minced meat. I want minced meat.
Do they have a mince department?
Believe it or not, they don't. But they do have a good meat department no matter where you go.
Yeah, they do.
And it was Food City as well that they was able to get me reasonably priced minced meat in a jar.
That's fantastic.
So happy.
Oh, that's good news.
Food City should pay us.
And well, they used to. I used to do commercials for them, but it's been 15 years. So, but how did you prepare? And you make what do you make? A mincemeat pie? I've heard of. I remember is cartoons where they would say, "I'm going to make mincemeat out of you."
Yeah, well, that would be horrible. But I make mincemeat tarts because I love little tarts. Uh-huh. My husband, as much as I love him to pieces, and he's a real meat and potatoes.
I think you love him to minces, is what you're determined.
There you go, to minces pieces.
Yeah,
he's a meat and potatoes guy, but he is not a dessert guy. And so, if I make
well, that
a
could
whole
be great
pie,
news for you if you're a dessert lady.
It is
okay.
So if I make a whole pie, I'm eating pie forever.
So you make them in tart form.
So I make little tarts, and, you know, so I'll make a dozen tarts. And when those dozen are done, then I make another dozen tarts. And
that works for me.
Yes.
That's good, yeah. My wife and I, of course, we will eat anything and love too much of everything. But we try very hard to when we buy something. We bought it. In fact, I think it was back in the fall, now that I remember. We bought an apple walnut pie, cake, I don't know, it looked good. It was at Aldi. It was imported from Germany. And I forgot about it because as soon as we got it home, we cut it up into like pizza pie slices.
Yep.
And we wrapped each piece individually and we bagged each piece individually. And it's now been in the freezer for 6 months and I just now remembered it. But it's there.
It's well.
We can all have it someday.
Well, we should. Maybe you know, take it out and let it thaw for supper tonight.
Might be a great idea. Yeah. So I love my Easter candy, though. I mean, I even decided. I said this on the radio the other day that, in my opinion, Easter is better than Halloween because spring is better than fall. So this is a debate issue. This is if we were doing high school debate, I'm going to take the position that Easter is better than Halloween because spring is better than fall. What say you, madam?
I'm an October baby, and that says it all.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you can think and enjoy all of the spring candy you would like, and I will appreciate the fact that you feel that way.
So good. I like my peeps. I like my jelly
will,
beans.
You will never sway me from the fact that October is the month for me, and so Halloween will work.
What's your favorite Halloween candy?
You know what? I don't have a favorite Halloween candy.
Okay.
Okay. I love candy.
Do I like candy corn?
No.
Oh.
That's not candy. It's got the word corn in it.
Then I will also, I think we would get along well because I will then take all your candy corn and enjoy it.
That would work. Okay. I would send it to you.
That's good. And then marshmallow peeps. Some people are grossed out by those. I love those.
I'm not a big marshmallow peeps. I like candied apples.
Okay, that's one good thing in the fall.
At the
Tennessee Valley Fair,
apples.
When they have the red candied apples.
You know, yes, those are good.
I do enjoy those.
Okay. Mm. And I like making homemade toffee and peanut corn, like popcorn.
Oh, okay, yeah, right? Yeah.
That's delicious.
Yeah, all right.
You know, all the things, all the kinds of sweets that I don't like happen to be the big things that happen with Easter and stuff like that. And all of the really decadent sweets happen in Halloween's little season.
Well, right it goes, you go right, you roll from Halloween to Christmas to Valentine's to Easter. It's boom, 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 boom. It's one after the other.
Oh, it's even earlier than that, okay? Because if you really want to start, you start with Canadian Thanksgiving in
October. On October 1st.
That's it. So you start with October and you just keep rolling.
What's the traditional Canadian Thanksgiving candies?
Well, I don't know, but butter tarts are always a favorite no matter what time
of
year.
Well, speaking of Aldi, I did buy a box of fall cookies on clearance the other day. They're the maple leaf shaped cookies with the maple leaf filling. But that box is still sealed in the pantry, probably in some kind of Ziploc bag to keep it fresh, because I probably won't remember to eat that for 6 months. I love this stuff, but I feel guilty eating it.
Why?
I've got a kind of a gluttony problem.
Well, you see, in Canada, children are raised, you know, knowing that sugar is an essential food.
That's right, okay? Maple. There are maple heads.
We have sugar pie. We have butter tarts.
Sugar pie? Is it literally a pie of just sugar?
Pretty much.
Oh, I could eat that.
Much.
I would enjoy that.
You know what? I will make you one. And you will die. It's so delicious.
I might, literally, yeah.
It was.
There's a mystery for Missy Barrett to solve. The case of the deadly sugar pie. You see, I'm a June baby, so I once my birthday happens on the longest day of the year, Frank, it's all downhill. You know, the days just get shorter and then more depressing until finally, you know, you get to my half birthday, the shortest day of the year, and then things start to turn around after Christmas. And now, I mean, look at me. I've got on a yellow shirt. I've got the lights turned up bright.
That's bright.
I'm excited. I'm ready. I've got my plants. I got my flowers. I'm going out there doing gardening. I planted some peonies the other day.
Well, you know, this is good. Obviously,
this is springtime.
I'm a little darker than you are. I love black.
Fine.
I do like gardening.
Here's what we'll do. You've given me an opportunity here to jump off of a minute early, since you said you love Halloween and you love wear black and you're darker than I am, to talk about BoneZones.com.
Oh,
don't forget the S.
Yes.
Dr. Bill Bass, the great forensic anthropologist, of course, did all that research with his doctoral students at the University of Tennessee. And we've got the merchandise at BoneZones.com. Don't forget the S. Including the Dr. Bass hats, T-shirts are very fine, the Body Farm T-shirts, which also mention all of the books that John Jefferson wrote with Dr. Bass's input, and those are all fantastic. I did a speech recently. In fact, I don't think I've talked about it on the show yet. Here's Carved in Bone. This is a fictionalized version of Dr. Bass as Dr. Brockton. And then there's 11 more after that. I think about nine or ten of the fiction books, and then two of the nonfiction books like Death's Acre and Beyond the Body Farm. These are autographed by Dr. Bass.
Ooh.
In fact, all the ones you buy from Bone Zones are autographed by Dr. Bass. He's very gracious, even in his retirement, to give us the time for that. This is the skull paperweight. Have you seen this one?
No.
Look at that. He signed it right across the superorbital ridge.
I love that.
That's the part of you can tell a man's skull from a woman's skull by the ridge above the eyebrows and also by the bump in the back of the head. If you know that, men have a bump right here that women don't have. It's kind of amazing.
Well, also from the bank balance in their checking account.
Depends if they're married, divorced, or single. I did the speech. Dr. Bass is retired from public speaking. So the Teleco Village Kahiti Women's Organization invited me to please come give a speech about the origins of the Body Farm that I had prepared. I had been the warm-up act for Dr. Bass for a while. You know, I'd come on and do a little bit of the history. So I just expanded it. I took some of his slides, and I have these audio interviews of him with me talking about, I've got 5 hours worth of audio, so I just pick out the 12 minutes that I need for the presentation. And this one, we talked about the starting of the body farm, and it was a hit. They loved it. I mean, they're packed in there. I'm cracking jokes. The poor women, they had their women's club meeting right before me. So the lady comes up from the bereavement committee, and she says, "I'm happy to report that the bereavement committee wasn't needed this month." And everyone claps. Now I've got to follow that. I said, "I don't know, people." I said, "The bereavement committee just got applause because they weren't needed this month. Do you understand what my speech is about? In my speech, everybody dies. You know, there's no happy endings here. It's going to be
deadly announcements."
Yeah, because we have scientific pictures of a guy, you know, every day until he's nothing but a skeleton. You know, all the steps. It's gruesome, but they paid to come see it, and and you can hire me too at bonezones.com. Don't forget the S. Thank you for that. All right. Speaking of books, speaking of adventure, that's how you and I know each other.
Yes.
Is because of your fabulous character, Missy Barrett. And now, remind me, because you're here, I can talk all day, obviously. But why don't you tell me how we ended up crossing paths and how I ended up in not one, but two Missy Barrett books.
Well, Missy Barrett is a fictional 9-year-old child who lives in real life Sevierville. Mm-hmm. And she has almost every single one of her adventures in East Tennessee, mostly in mm-hmm. Sevier County.
Okay? Well, sure. I mean, it's a hugely popular destination.
That's it.
And it's where you live.
It's where I live. And I'm a big believer in the concept of telling children to bloom where they're planted. And that they don't need to move away to a really, really huge city just so that they can have an exciting life. They can have an exciting life anywhere they happen to be at the time.
Having lived in three huge cities, and my biggest happiness comes in East Tennessee, I'm going to agree with that.
That's it.
I'm blooming where I was transplanted, but still.
There you go. So anyhow, we met years ago. Mm-hmm. Years ago. And you were doing shows.
The Pitch and Ford shows, right? There used to be an internet channel before the lockdown up there. And I missed it so much when it went away. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to start Frank and Friends here and keep it going in my own little abode.
And I think probably one of the first things that we had talked about was that Missy was doing the Missy Barrett Stamp and Sticker Search.
Yes, that's right.
Which was kind of
some of those some of our interviews are still on YouTube.
Yes, they are. They're linked on my Lise Bruce website, right. Believe it or not.
I do believe it because I believe I've seen it.
Yes. So anyhow, we talked about this, and it was kind of a quirky thing, and I had a hard time at first with people understanding that it was a local event by a fictional local person to promote literacy and safe socialization and local businesses and attractions.
Yeah.
And people kept saying to me, "And how much will this cost?" And it was like, you buy a book and you go to the official stamp and sticker locations and you put a stamp or a sticker in, and then at the end of 2 weeks you exchange those for draw tickets for a chance to win one of the draw prizes.
Now, as I recall when you explained this to me, an improviser, I'm like, okay, well, let's go with that.
but that's what it is. And I spend a lot of time, the first 3 years, was businesses and attractions going, "And how much will this cost me?"
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying, "It's for the kids."
But if you think about all of the coupon books that you can get, not just the school coupon books for Knox County, but I mean all the discount coupons and all the guides you pick up at your hotel and the rack, which I highly recommend doing, but those guys are paying to be in there, and they also have to offer a discount coupon to be in there. So, of course, they're jaded in that regard.
Of course, you know, and I kept saying, this is a Missy Barrett project. You have to understand Missy Barrett to understand why there is no charge to you to be a part of this.
Right.
And finally, people who'd been on board for 2 or 3 years
started to see results.
That's it. And they started telling their friends, and they understood
that
the idea is that people buy the book, they bring it in with their kids, they get the stamp, the sticker.
Yeah.
Okay. The location has not paid money for this, but it gives them an opportunity to introduce people to what they do, what they sell, what they promote.
And there's some degree of you vetting the locations. You know, you're not going to send a kid to a moonshine store. As much as I love moonshine stores, they would not be appropriate for the search and sticker.
That's right. Yeah. So they're all places that a kid would love to go
exactly.
to. And so, you know, it's grown from there. And then, you know, the next time you and I did an interview, it was for International Missy Bear Day, A Day to Do Good Deeds.
Which, I remember that one.
Again, back in 2017, people started with, and what will this cost me?
No, you understand, it's fun to say. That's why we're doing it. It's the International Day to Do a
Good Deed. It shouldn't cost you anything, okay? Smiles and kind thoughts and kind actions don't cost anything. And last year, when we did International Missy Barrett Day, A Day to Do Good Deeds, we have collected to date 10 proclamations from major cities in Tennessee.
Excellent.
Beautiful. We have 18 counties in Tennessee that have done proclamations. And we have...
That's only, what, 81 to go?
Well, you know what? Here it is. There's 95 counties.
Right. Oh, I was running. I thought it was 99. Yeah, 95.
There's 95.
Right.
And I've got 18. So that's a good start.
That's an excellent start. It's like 20%.
Well, what it is fantastic. People that are recognizing that this is really meant to make people think about being kind and being good and doing things for others with no expectation of anything back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because I never expected proclamations, but I got them.
Right.
And I thought, well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay? And then I have... you know,
and really all you're getting out of it is you're raising the visibility of the Missy Barrett character.
Right.
And that doesn't necessarily sell a book. It might help
it
if they see it at the library. They might be more inclined to check it out. They might be more inclined to try it because that's a big deal. I mean, there's so many characters and fictional characters and so many books out there that if you can get on the radar, that would help you.
And if you can get a lot of young kids, okay, more importantly, young kids that say, you know what? Missy would do this, I'm going to do it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and so it mentors for children what it is to care about other people.
Well, when Missy is crawling around in a cave under her grandpa's property, have you done this? Is this something where you have tested this, or maybe you throw some kid down there and say, hey, you, down in the hole, how's it going?
Well, I mean, I've had, as a child, done a lot of really outrageous things that I probably should have never done, and I probably should have never made it to this point in life, okay? However, I have never fallen into a hole underground, never, okay? And so in a case like that... What I did was I phoned up Deputy Fire Chief Donnie Schuler over in the Survival Fire Department, and I said, my character has fallen into a hole on her grandpa's farm, and she can't get out. And I can't help get her out because I've never fallen into a hole. So if a kid falls into a hole, how would that kid get back out?
And he probably has a file this thick of kids falling into holes that he can just pick one. Well, here's one from 20 years ago. Here's one from three years ago.
Well, he was really generous with his time. He invited me down to the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat with me in his office and explained all the equipment that's used, how it would be done, what they would ask of the child. Mm-hmm. And that made its way into the book.
That's great.
The Case of the Missing Muskets.
Now, speaking of his fire department for a second, you know, the rescue squad is a specialized group.
Yes.
My cousin was on that squad in New York. And, I mean, he redesigned the truck to be a rolling toolkit to fit the maximum number of things on there. You know, he would lay them out so that the hammer or the axe, whatever, would have to go this way instead of that way. Because that way he could fit something else in here and just pack it. He was a genius. When you see a rescue truck coming down the road, that's adventure right there. You know, something has happened. It's not just a regular fire. It's more serious.
But if you see an emergency vehicle going down the road, and Missy will tell you this, okay, do not follow. Let them do their job.
I was thinking you pull over and let them pass.
Exactly. Yeah. Stay out of the way. Okay, you pull over to the side, you stop, you let the emergency vehicle.
And for some of my southern friends, you pretend it's a funeral because you're good enough about getting out of the way for a funeral. You also get out of the way of the fire truck.
That's it. And you know, you let them go on their way. Don't follow, don't pull out your cell phone and try and tape it and put it up on, be the first one to have it up on social media.
That sounds like you're getting ready for Missy to start driving lessons soon so she can teach us about emergency vehicles.
Actually, she gets her brother Aaron, her oldest brother Aaron, to take her places, and she's quite the backseat
driver. Is she
going
to be nine forever?
Well, you know, so far...
That's allowed. That's fine.
So far she is, but at some point there will be another series of books.
Okay.
Which will pick up, and I'm not sure when I'm going to start writing those, but it will pick up when Missy is actually in her 20s, and she will no longer be Missy, she'll be Melissa Rue Barrett.
Oh, how neat.
Private Eye.
Oh, that sounds good stuff. That's good stuff. I like it.
And think of all the training she's had as a 9-year-old.
That's fun. Yeah, and you skip over all the awkward years. That's good stuff.
Yeah. All the years where she makes life even more difficult for her mother.
How hard is it to write a book? I mean, first of all, how long are the books?
Well, the Missy books...
They're children's books, so they're short.
They're middle grade read your chapter books. All so they run about 30 to 35,000 words, okay? And that's for the kids that are 8 and older. Although I've got a lot of teenagers and seniors that love reading those books, mostly because there's one level that you read at that is for a kid.
Yeah.
And then another one where, you know, let's say you're a teen or in your 20s, and you go, oh, man, I remember doing that.
Yeah.
And when you're a senior, you know, you go, I remember raising a child like that. So, you know, it's 30 to 35,000 words. Now, if I were to just sit down and just write a Missy story that didn't require any research... Mm-hmm. If it was an adventure that really, really caught my interest, like, you know, some of the Missy Barrett adventures and Missy Barrett conversation books, I could do that within 3 weeks,
no
problem.
No kidding.
Well, because...
But you have to have a discipline. That's what I'm trying to get, is that discipline where you sit and it's your job and you sit and you do it like you're at a desk doing spreadsheets, if you're an accountant, for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. How long?
Well, here's the thing, okay? I sit down, and my discipline is Monday to Friday for sure, sometimes on the weekends as well, okay? I have to either put in 4 hours writing or 1,500 words, whichever one
comes
happens.
First. Oh, wow.
Okay? So sometimes, you know, in that 4 hours, I don't get to 1,500 words, which is a lot more than what it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
No, I like that, though. This is good advice because, I'm the hare, not the tortoise, and I can see myself, I can get to 1,500 in 3.5 hours.
It's sometimes pretty hard.
Yeah.
Okay? And so the writing part takes that, but people don't understand that if you're also then doing research so that your story is accurate.
Speaking of falling down a rabbit hole, that's where I get into trouble. I know what I'm going for, but that's just this. It keeps getting deeper, and there's so many different tangents and caverns, extra little places to go and explore. Oh boy!
Yeah, here's what happens to me. Let's say we fall into that hole. Now I have to figure out a few things. What am I going to find in that hole? Well, because it's a Civil War story.
Yeah.
Then she found ammunition. Well, what kind of ammunition? Then I have to look it up. It's like, that's just when things were switching over from the gunpowder wadded balls to actual real bullets.
Yeah.
Well, how did that happen? And who made the bullets? Uh-huh. And who made the guns? And who made the muskets? And before I know it, 6 hours has gone by, and I have a lot of great information, none of which can be put in the book.
And nothing written, yeah. Yeah, you've still got, she found bullets. That's all. 3 words. She's gotten 3 words out of that.
Yeah, so it's a long process, okay? And that's why you have to, one, approach it like a business. If you go to work in the morning and they expect you to work 9 to 5, okay, guess what? This is your job. You have to sit down and work it.
Yeah.
You know? And you have to do all the parts that are important to writing that book, which means making sure that the grammar is right, making sure the spellings are right, making sure the research is correct, making sure that it makes sense, looking for holes in the story where you know what you know in your head, but you have to understand, your reader most likely won't know what you know.
Right.
And so, you know, there's all these little aspects to writing. It's a lot more
work. I can see that, where I write the in a shorthand. I'm trying to tell a joke, funny story, or whatever. But, yeah, it might not be funny to everyone else if they don't understand the context of it. And I've maybe made a jump of logic a little too fast because I'm going for the funny, and it doesn't add up for everybody. Yeah.
Well, and this is why a lot of times in Missy's books, when people say things and they're teasing her or joking around with her, she will listen to it, and nothing happens, and then she goes, I don't get it. You know, and that way, whoever's trying to make her laugh realizes that maybe they missed a little part in the joke that would have helped Missy get it.
And maybe the adults reading might get it faster than, but then you're able
and they
to
see what she's
to
missed.
Do it on two levels. That's good. That's good. All right. And what about how much does it cost to have someone edit your book?
Well, you see, this is where it pays to be married to another author.
Oh, genius.
Yes.
All right, I got to get my wife to become an author.
Or to be really good friends with an author and swap services.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I like that idea.
You know, otherwise, what some people will charge a flat rate based on per 1,000 words, so $25 per 1,000 words.
Okay.
And while that will make the writer want to be very succinct with how they write,
it's not big enough to sell it yet. So what are you selling, pamphlets?
That's it. And sometimes being succinct is not the way to tell the story.
Right, right.
I could never tell a Missy story succinctly because Missy never goes from A to B.
And when some people want to curl up with a book, they want to spend some time with it. They don't want to just read it. I mean, there's books that used to be called bathroom readers because you didn't have to spend time with them. You didn't have to be on a comfortable chair. You could just get through it quickly.
You mean the Uncle John bathroom readers?
Do
you know that in the 30th anniversary edition that came out in 2018, that part of my research was cited in that particular book, that edition.
Congratulations.
Well, you know, it's like this. Okay, I get a lot of research that I do that gets cited and quoted in various textbooks, you know, academic books and stuff like that. And I tell my mother-in-law when it happens, and it happens a lot, And she's like, oh, that's nice. When she found out that it was in the Uncle John's 30th edition, all of her friends knew.
How did it get in there? You must have sent it to them.
I did not send it to them.
They found it.
They went to my Idiomation blog where, you know, for the last 13, going on 14 years now, I've written regular entries on idioms and expressions and phrases, what they mean, how far back they go, who's the first person to have said it or written it.
I like it.
Okay. And which I originally started from my son when he started high school because he was autistic. Mm-hmm. And the complaint throughout the whole first semester was, Mom, people say things, I don't know what they mean.
Well, new arrivals, I mean, in any country, if you go to a foreign land, you're not going to understand the idioms, because if you've learned textbook French, Spanish, English,
forget it.
I mean, whatever language it is. Yeah, it's idiomatic language makes no sense to a brand new speaker or a non-native, and I can see exactly why that would also apply. In the case of someone, I've got a friend with Asperger's and autism, that would work. That makes sense to me.
Trust me, you have more than one friend with Asperger's. Oh. I can tell you that for a fact. Okay, I know some of your friends. So I do. And, you know, not everybody tells you what they have.
All right, good point.
So anyhow, he also was a level one, which used to be called Asperger's.
Okay.
And it was really a source of stress for him. And so I said, well, I'm going to start a blog for you. And every time somebody says something, you know, let me know. I will look it up quickly, and I'll put it on the blog, and you know
it.
Oh,
I love it. That's great.
And then it was a case of, yeah, but why does it mean that? And it was like, you know, welcome to the world of autism.
But that's the fascinating backstory of how did that phrase come to mean that thing.
Why? So anyhow, I started doing, it took longer. And I'd explain to him, it'll take longer for me to do all of that. And I'd put it up. And then within a month, he's like, okay, so, you know, there were 18 hits on the blog. Woohoo!
Yeah.
And they were all from him. And I thought, okay, well, it's helping him, right? The following month, he says to me, Mom, I have some friends that are in the special needs class, and they don't understand things. Can they send you an email with help from the teacher?
Wonderful.
Asking? And I said, sure you can. That's not a problem. Tell them they
this
can
is a
email
beautiful
me.
Service. I'm in love with this already.
You know, and again, you know, another one of these, and I'm so much like Misty in that respect, a no-charge service,
uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
And it grew and it grew and it grew, okay? And it finally, you know, I mean, it's huge now.
Yeah.
I get 500,000 hits a year.
Are you kidding me?
And I still don't charge.
Wow.
You know, and I still get people who send me emails that say, what does this mean and where did it come from?
That's fantastic.
And so Uncle John's went and found, like, water off a duck's back,
uh-huh.
put it in their book, credited me, credited Idiomation,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, well, you know, that's kind of cool, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of weird because I'm also cited and quoted in academic books and, you know, in books by New York Times bestsellers and Uncle John's bathroom reader.
That's fantastic. So water on off a duck's back. I mean, I can picture a duck and I can picture water just beating and going right off without soaking into the duck's skin. So obviously it means something, you know, like an insult or something doesn't bother you. You're letting it.
Right.
Roll
because
it, roll
if a duck is swimming
yeah.
and it rains outside,
doesn't care.
It's water off the duck's back. It doesn't get soaked
yeah.
and it doesn't sink.
Right.
Okay, and that goes back to the 1600s.
Huh. That's excellent.
Yeah. Hmm. And it makes a lot of sense.
My parents gave us ducks for Easter one year.
Soaking ducks?
Well, they were alive. They were. And you're not supposed to do this. And I know it's terrible, but I mean, I'm very old, and I was very young at the time. And we didn't know. My parents didn't know. They come home and then they just gave us ducklings, live ducklings, for Easter. And
well, they do. They knew who was having duck dinner later on.
No, I cared for the ducks and I grew them. But then you don't know what to do with them. Now I've gone from sick. My sisters weren't interested. We each got two ducklings.
Okay.
And my sisters lost interest in it fairly quickly. But I decided that I would raise these ducklings to be adult ducks. And the next thing you know, now I've got six adult ducks in the New York City suburbs. And what are we going to do with them? So my dad comes up with this genius idea to release them into the wild, into the Bronx River, which I'm sure, I'm sorry, ducks, I'm sure somebody ate them, but it would have been a wolf or a coyote or something, not me. I didn't eat them. But I didn't know.
But in the chain of life?
As a kid, you think, you know, yeah, that's true. That's true. It's the circle of life.
It's an Elton John moment. You know, down they went, and some wolf, you know, or some coyote said, I have children at home.
I'm going to, and they could use some dumb ducks that don't know how to survive in the wild.
You know, they thought it was a smorgasbord.
Yeah, but I mean, at that age, you believe, you know, that the dog goes to live on a farm upstate. You know, you believe these things. You think that the ducks are going to be happily ever after, but
you don't want to.
All I can tell you is they were not the only ducks at this lake, this pond.
Right.
There were dozens and dozens of other ducks that looked just like them. So they could have theoretically blended in.
They could have gotten away, okay.
They could have.
But, you know, ask every child where the chicken from their favorite chicken place comes from. And they're not going to think, oh, well, first it's an egg, then it's a baby chick, and then it grows up and it gets hurt.
Yeah.
And then cooked.
Good point. I mean, I do enjoy chicken, too. Anyway, I just had this thing about water off a duck's back.
Little sidetrack there.
I know.
Back
are
to
you
Easter.
Doing, are you doing anything for the eclipse? This episode will come out right before the solar eclipse.
I always do things for important events like
that. I mean, you're traveling to the path of totality.
No. Okay, because a partial eclipse is really cool, too.
Yeah, but
and there's a demon comet that's coming right after it. It's like that, right? Who would want to miss that, right?
And well, I'm going to go to the path of totality so I can really see it.
Yeah, take pictures.
Okay.
Okay, but there's a demon comet.
I think there'd be guys
right
with better
behind.
Cameras than me.
But you will take your picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, if Missy thought the way you did, she'd never get anything done. She'd say, oh, you know, real detectives have got better equipment than me. She makes do with what she finds.
I am amazed that my friend Bean has his podcast co-host lives an hour or so from the path of totality in Maine, and she's not going to go. She's going to be satisfied with the 99% totality, and having experienced the 100% totality back in 2017.
Yep.
The 99% is it's okay, but we all saw 199%. You know, everyone who's seen 100% has also seen 99%, and that's you go like eh. But then when you get to 100%, it's like whoa.
Isn't that awesome?
So that is why I've got family members who will travel to strange places in the country to get into the 100%, and that's what I'd recommend if you can do it. I mean, it's from Knoxville. You'd have to drive probably 5 hours to Kentucky or Ohio. Yeah. Or longer, if you want to go to Niagara Falls, you can watch it at Niagara Falls.
I saw the one in 2017. That was awesome. Okay, yeah. But the band was actually playing in Saskatchewan back in 1978.
The band? Like Robbie?
No, I was in a band.
Oh, you were in a band.
In 78. And that was a big solar eclipse. That was totality. We were in Saskatoon, and it was like totality. It was like awesome.
It is. Fantastic.
All right, so I've gone through this twice and loved it.
Okay so you're going to be okay with 88% this
time
around?
Well, yeah, because I think a partial eclipse would be pretty awesome to experience, too.
So I remember when I was a kid, I think it was 78. I was in the New York suburbs, and the Ducks, I think, were probably...
You were a kid in 78?
Well, no, I was a teenager in 78, wasn't I? I remember at some point going out into the backyard, and I made the box with the pinhole, and yes. I watched a partial eclipse through a in a box in my backyard. And I thought it was okay. But having then experienced four years ago, I don't know, 2017, that changed everything. I can't settle for 99% anymore. 88% is not enough. I'm 100 or nothing, baby.
Well, I like to sample a little bit of everything.
I'm sure it's fine. But yeah, I was, probably junior, senior in high school in 78. I graduated in 79, so figured you can do the math.
I graduated early. I was 16, and I was done.
Smart. Good for you.
I had things to do, places to go.
Absolutely.
It was the early beginnings of the messy mindset, obviously.
Well, speaking of places to go and adventures to have, before we wrap up, tell me about what it is that I agreed to, and give a good solid plug for the new Missing Musket. Missy's missing muskets. Not the missing musket, the missing musket.
Well, here's the thing, okay, is that on April 24th, which is a Wednesday, we're doing two book launches, one at the Pigeon Forge Library and one at the King Family Library. One is at 1 o'clock, one's at 3:30. You're doing the one at 3:30 at the King Family Library, which will be loads of fun.
So I've done this before.
Yes, and
it's the same drill. I show up and I read a chapter.
The chapter that you're in.
How about that?
You're going to love it. There you go.
In that chapter, I'm going to spoil it for you, but only a little bit, to tell you that the fictional Missy is... and Missy's mom come and they appear on this podcast, and I interview them.
That's true, but it's a rough start, okay? If you remember at the beginning, Missy is you know,
she's kind of going around. You know, some people, when they tell stories like a dog circling the sit, yes. Missy is a little bit of that. She's telling me all these fascinatingly interesting things, and I assume that's the adventure. That's the adventure.
And she keeps saying, no, there's no adventure. The adventure's still coming.
But it was really good stuff.
You know, and so she's pretty cool. But, so you'll be coming and doing that event, and everybody is welcome. You don't have to just be, a tween or a teen to go into the teen center.
It's a public library.
It is, and we welcome everybody to come, whether you're a kid with your parents, grandparents, caregivers, teenagers, seniors with no kids. It doesn't matter.
It's not just me reading. There's more to it than that.
There is. We do an activity. There's going to be a snack. There's going to be all kinds of really cool things going on.
It's a nice little after-school thing.
It is.
I remember last time you had an art-related activity. You made a... I don't remember
they,
what it was, but
they
did something.
Made covers with their little tiny books.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that they could also investigate. And in fact, I thought...
You had some paperwork behind me.
I had something. It's right here.
Okay.
See this one this year? This is what this looks like.
This is like a detective kit?
It's a Missy notebook holder. Because she's always pulling out her notebook.
Notebooks are good.
You know, always pulling them out. Mm-hmm. She usually has a pencil along here.
Of course.
Okay. Pulls it out, flips it open and writes her notes, okay? Important, so that she can then transcribe them and put them in her file, okay? And, of course, we always say that...
I'm guessing that you also use these to when you spot something in Sevier County that would be a good idea for a story.
Yeah, I don't do the recording thing. I don't even have a cell phone to record, you know? I have an old-fashioned real camera and paper, you know? And I tell everybody that Missy makes these, and, of course, you see how that's beautifully beaded along?
Yeah.
The edges? Yes.
How do you do that?
By hand.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of things about me you don't know about.
But I mean, are the kids going to make this at their library?
No. I'm going to do is I'm going to show them how that's made.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And I am going to have something very, very interesting in the way of an activity, but I never tell them what it is until we actually get there. Because then it's a great surprise.
Kids love surprises.
It is. So you're going to be there for that, which will be amazing. Again, the kids loved it when you did that for the case of the Thoughtful Thief. So they're going to really love that you have agreed to come back and do the Missing Musket. And the story of the case of the Missing Musket is that Missy and her big brothers, Josh and Aaron, Josh is 16, Aaron is 20, mm-hmm. Have taken Grandpa up on his offer, which you can never turn down a grandparent when they ask.
That's right.
Anyhow, Grandpa Two Rivers says, come out to the farm and help me clear off an area. I want to make a bee and butterfly garden for your grandma.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So that she has this really beautiful place that she can just go and hang out and do some gardening. And
you see over there, I've got some bulbs that I need to plant. They say right on the side of the box, bee and butterfly. I'm going to get out and plant those soon, probably right after the eclipse.
But the thing is that they don't attract stinging bees. They attract bees that make honey.
Oh, nice.
Okay. So it's beautiful bee making, you know, honey making bees. And butterflies. And so they go over there to help out. And while Josh and Aaron are digging stumps out of the ground, mm-hmm. And Grandpa, of course, has cleared away all the poison oak and poison ivy, Missy's job is now to clear the brush out and put it in a big cardboard box.
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
I did that over that corner of the yard.
Goodness. So it's understandable Grandpa's going to ask for help. You know, tap the grandchildren, right? And when Missy goes to sit down, she just keeps falling down, apples over tea kettle, as she says, okay, her favorite expression, apples over tea kettle, until she comes to a stop and lands on a bunch of musty, ratty old wool blankets.
Mm-hmm.
So she pulls out her trusty flashlight.
Good for her.
Which she always carries with her, which I also carry with me. I have one. You don't know that? I do. It's in my camera case. And she kind of looks around and
the rest of us are counting on our cell phones to have a flashlight built in.
So she sees all kinds of interesting things down there. She sees old-timey ammunition.
Yeah.
She sees the ratty old blankets.
Mm-hmm.
She pulls back a corner of the ratty old blanket. She finds some old coins. Okay. And they're really old coins. She knows that because they don't look like anything that have been in her pockets. Uh-huh. Okay, and she finds a diary, and on the top of the diary is embossed. It says 1864. She knows that is the Civil War year.
Sure is.
It's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter how much she shines her light all over the place,
no muskets.
There's no muskets.
Because it says in the title, it gives it away at the beginning,
missing muskets.
The case of the missing muskets.
And so she has to find where would they have gone? Why aren't they there with the ammunition? Who in their right mind puts ammunition in one place and then doesn't leave something to fire it?
Somebody took those muskets, is what I'm thinking.
You have to buy the book and read it to find out where they went.
Well, I will be reading it in public on April 24th, but I won't give away the ending.
There you go. But we're also doing a reading on the 27th at Savannah Bee Company.
Oh, good.
Because they're going to be in the book. Hmm. And then on Sunday the 28th, we're over at Pink Jeep Tours. Because if you want to know Pink Jeep Tours,
Pigeon
Forge, okay? Because if you want to know something about the Civil War and stuff like that, you got to go to the Pink Jeep Tour and talk to the guide they've got. His name is Hillbilly. A real person. I'm serious. They've got a guy down there called Hillbilly.
And he'll take you on the Civil War tour.
Well, you know what? They've got a new tour that covers Cades Cove and Elkmont and all sorts of things. Did you know that they mined ingredients at the Alum Cave Bluff Trail during the Civil War for the bullets?
Did not know that.
You did not know that.
Did not know
Do
that.
You know Did you know?
I'm thinking this could be a Scholar's Bowl question.
There's all kinds of interesting things. The old meal restaurant. You
I'm thinking I need to go to your idiom blog and make some Scholar's Bowl questions. But go ahead. The old mill.
The old mill restaurant. Yeah. When it was an old mill.
When it was a new mill.
Okay. Yeah. Well, with newish. It had been around for a while. The owners actually turned that into a hospital, but not for the Confederates. But for the Union.
Mm-hmm.
And they made uniforms on the third floor for the Union Army.
Yeah.
Okay. That's okay, because over at Newfound Gap, they had Fort Harry, and that was put together by a general and his Cherokee Confederates.
Oh, so I didn't know that either.
So, yeah, so there's a lot of both sides of the
Yeah, Tennessee is an odd state when it comes to the Civil War because of the, A, the geography, and B, they wanted to stay with the Union and ended up having it going the other way. You can Google all that. Or ask.
But it's interesting. I mean, I know a lot now about the Civil War that I did not know before.
Because this is the first Missy book that is focused on that.
On the Civil War.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and she would have never, ever, ever gone down that rabbit hole if the diary hadn't been embossed with 1864.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. All right. Well, that sounds like fun times. So you got multiple ways. And the easy way to look up, I'll put the link in the description for Missy's, not only to buy the books, but for all the other appearances, the one I'm not at, would be the website, Missy.
If you go to facebook.com/Missy Garrett fan page.
I'll put the link. That's the link I'll put in then.
There's going to be an event page that will list all four of them, so that if you can't make one, you can at least maybe make one of the others for sure.
Sounds like a win. All right.
Besides,
what?
In the diary, Missy finds that the person who wrote it is missing their mom's butter brown pecan cookies.
Oh.
Yeah. Which I had to look up that recipe. So talk about going down a rabbit hole.
Is the recipe in the book?
You'll have to buy the book to see.
Oh, man.
However, at Savannah Bee Company, they actually have someone who does baking for them who will be baking those cookies from the recipe that I found.
That sounds good.
Mm.
All right. So that's another reason to go to that in Gatlinburg, right?
Where's
Savannah Bee?
Mountain Mile.
Oh, that's Pigeon Forge by the,
Mountain Mile, yeah.
I know that. It's on Teaster Lane?
In between the tea and spice store and the Sunnyland Farms on Teaster Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been over there to a couple of restaurants, and they have some other attractions near there.
Right.
That's good. Good.
Right next
Do you have an appearance in Gatlinburg, or am I imagining it?
No.
I must have mistakenly thought the Bee Company was in Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
All right. So don't go to Gatlinburg.
No, but if you do go to the Savannah Bee Company wine, right next door... Okay, they have got pecan pralines, all things pecan in
that
store.
Oh,
is that cool or what?
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate you being here, Elise.
Well, thanks for letting me ramble on and on about Missy.
No, it saved me half an episode. I got to relax for a little bit. No, I'm glad you were here, and we had a nice chat. So check out everything else that Elise has to offer. Obviously, you're a tip of the iceberg. We've only seen a little bit so far. There's a lot more. I know the feeling, because obviously I've got side jobs and part-time work and side hustles going every which way.
Yeah, and I mentioned something earlier before we started taping, and you went, what?
I got so many jobs. In fact, with that one, there's one I'm saving. We'll talk about when Frady's here, because that's a whole story. thank you so much for watching. If you do enjoy audio entertainment and listening to audiobooks, like especially there's this part when you're driving from Chapman Highway to get over to Pigeon Forge, where you get no cell service. It's just you're down there in the Dell or whatever it is called, and you can't listen to anything. But if you have downloaded a book using your MP3 credit from Audible, you can keep listening uninterrupted because it's on your phone and you don't need internet for that. And you get a free MP3 download every month. You can try a free premium subscription for 30 days when you go to audibletrial.com/frankandfriendsshow. And you're helping us out just by signing up for the 30-day trial, and then it'll renew until you say, okay, because there's 300 years worth, at last count, of audiobooks on there. So don't plan on listening to them all. Just choose wisely and find the ones that suit you. And then also, if you want to proudly support the Frank and Friends show while you're quaffing a beverage, you can get one of our pint glasses, our coffee mug, the towel. You know, Missy got to talk about the towel. She didn't get to see the actual towel
towels.
In person. This is my, during the winter, I call them bath towels, but during the spring and summer, they go back to being beach towels. And this is my favorite thing because it's got the full artwork on there. It's got the Smoky Mountains, and it's got the cheesy hotel-looking or, you know, In-N-Out Burger-looking logo sign.
It's beautiful.
Cheesy, meaning I love it. I would say that, I mean, that as a compliment. And it's the same as the sign behind us. But I love that so much. And then on those cooler nights in the mountains, I've got my new bunny hug.
Bunny hug.
Is that a Canadian
hug.
Term?
Yes, it is. I'm sure it is.
But this is a nice one. It's really soft on the inside, too. Here, feel that.
But it's got no zipper. But you see, doesn't that feel like a bunny's fur?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I can see that. It's like water off a rabbit's back. All right. no? Thanks again. Please subscribe on YouTube. Help us achieve the impossible dream and get to 1,000 subscribers, because who knows what will happen after that.
And?
What's this? Oh, it's you just never know when an adventure will break out. Missy Barrett. There she is.
It could break out right here.
Right here, right now. You never know. So check out the new book in which Missy visits your favorite podcast, because if you're still listening at this point, I mean, I think by default, it must be your favorite.
and if it wasn't before, it should be now.
Yeah, so thanks a lot for liking, sharing, subscribing, and have a happy Easter still.
And a good eclipse.
Good eclipse, that's right. Eclipse is, I'm getting into Catholic minutiae now. They had to move the Feast of the Annunciation from March 25th until April 8th because they can't have it during Holy Week or during the octave of Easter, so it bounces to the Monday. Anyway, happy days. You can Google me or email me, whatever. Search all that out. I'll be happy to give you all the arcane information in that regard. This is the Frank and Friends Show. I'm Frank Murphy.
I'm Elise Bruce.
And we'll talk to you again next time.